The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
If ever there was a time you respond with, "Thanks be to God," this would be the one. There you go. You know, we're talking about joy and the joy of relationships and the joy that Paul is feeling even in the midst of difficulties. And we've gone through this passage. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I pray that God blesses you with all joy today as we discover and discuss what it means to have joy in our relationships in Jesus Christ. I'm joyful because I have a garden at my house. How many have gardens? Lots of people? Anyone notice any difference pretty much every day? It seems like something new is coming up. Whether it's roses, do you guys have gardens at your house? Yeah, what kind of flowers are there? Daisies? What else? Yeah? Yellow roses, what do you have? Sunflowers. Are you going to eat them? No. Okay. Do you have flowers at your house? Lots and lots of lavender. Yeah? There's a story behind that I'll share with you sometime. So those smells of flowers sometimes bring back memories from people. I found in our garden just a couple of weeks ago my favorite type of flower of all time. It's a lilac. And I don't know if this happens for you, but there are various smells that obviously bring back memories. So smell and memory are the most closely linked. So when I saw the blooming things in my garden, I couldn't help it. And every day, maybe four or five times a day, I'd go to the middle of the garden and smell these things. And the reason I do it is because when I smell a lilac, my parents have lilac bushes in front of their house. They're enormous. And when I was younger, when the lilacs would bloom, there's this space that you could crawl through into the bush, and there was a center that was big enough for two young boys. And my brother and I would crawl inside the bush, and we'd sit on each side of the bush smelling these most beautiful flowers in the world, and we'd talk or throw things at each other. I wish I could go back there. That memory sustains me sometimes when it feels like there's distance and time and separation. And perhaps all of us have those memories. And I think that's where Paul starts us off with today. Paul is thinking about the joy of his relationship in Jesus Christ across time and space, distance, and maybe even his faith, right? So he says this, "I give thanks to my God for every remembrance, every time I remember you, always praying with joy for all of you in every prayer." What happens to us when we remember? What happens to us? So let's do this. I want you to think, what are some of the smells that have a specific memory for you? What are they? What is it? Mint. Why? Oh, it's a bad memory, okay? What other smells? Yeah? Debbie? Cooking bread. What does it remind you of? Your grandma. Mm-hmm. Any others? Chris? Liniment.
The footy change room.
The footy. And that's a positive smell. That's a positive, okay? Yep. Go ahead. Any others? What? Matt?
The barbecue.
Yeah. Yours or anywhere? Anywhere. Yep. One more. One more smell.
Ducks.
Smelling ducks. Oh, the cooked ducks, not just smelling ducks. Cooked ducks. Generally, when we remember smells or the smells bring back the memories, it's not about the place. It's about the people, isn't it? The most important part of our existence is our relationships with people. We set aside wherever the places or things that we've done. If they haven't been done with people, we generally don't remember them as much. And Paul is remembering today some people who helped him along his journey. And this is what happens to him, perhaps, and what happens to us when we remember. So first, there's a physical part of what happens with memory. So we get these endorphins released, right? Especially, well, when we're thinking about positive things, when we're remembering positive things, it brings about this sense of euphoria. If I were to say to you, what is the first positive memory that jumps to your mind, what would it be? And then tell that to someone right next to you. The first positive memory that you think of, and tell that to the person next to you. Go ahead. All right, how do we do? Oh, we're going to go for a while. I like it. All right, come back to me for a second. Now, when I asked you to do this, the most beautiful thing happened. No one turned to their partner next to them and went, "Oh, I don't know. What happened? You light up with a smile. Something happens when you think, something positive happens when we talk about these positive memories. So something physical happens, something psychological happens because we make a connection. Memories are all about making connections with times that have changed us. So we don't remember, remember the books, but we don't remember where we read them generally. We don't remember sermons that well, unless it's Rolly preaching, of course. But we do remember people and the times that changed us. And lastly, what happens to us spiritually? God reminds us that we're not alone and we will never be alone because the connection that we have with Jesus Christ passes time, distance, and even death. So the great promise that's in Jesus Christ is that none of these things can separate us from God. And so in the midst of all the things that separate us, the promise is God is right there with us and we are connected. We don't have to be alone. So in the midst of this, Paul, in the midst of prison, we've said this a couple times, Paul is writing this book to the people of Philippi. And they've been helping him along the journey. They've been sending him gifts, sending him encouragement. And as Paul sits perhaps in what might be considered some solitary confinement, where perhaps for all of us who have ever been in a place of solitary confinement, you know, a sense of hopelessness or darkness, or even loneliness. It's at that moment when Paul writes these words. We remember. Paul writes that I remember you. I remember you every time in my prayers. And when we remember, this loneliness is dispelled because our relationships sustain us. And he writes, it is my right to think about you this way, that you, this good work that's completed, that God is going to complete in us. It's my right for me to think this about all of you because I have you in my heart. And you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and my confirmation of the gospel. In this very difficult and dark place, in a place that probably could be a sense of loneliness, this connection that Paul has with the people of Philippi sustains him because they're partners all the way along. So here's a question for you, and I want you to discuss or talk this. Who is one person that sticks out in your memory that you'd like to have a conversation with again? And what would you talk about? One person that you'd like to have a conversation with again, and what would you talk about? And I'll give you a little extra time. Go ahead. Okay. What would you tell this person? What's the conversation about? What would you talk with them about? Say that again. Would you talk about football or the weather? Maybe. Yeah, life's journey. What else would you talk with them about?
What they gave him as a job.
Yeah. depending on who you're talking with again, yeah. There's the thought of thankfulness. You know, thank you for being part of my life. You know, when we think about it in those terms, we kind of overcome the need to talk about small talk. Because nobody knows, we heard from Ecclesiastes, nobody knows how long life is going to be. And it's those things that bond the relationships that give us the joy in life that we can talk deeply. It's easy to remember the difficult times in some ways, those dark moments, the places when we were most lonely. But it's in those dark moments that we can recollect where God has put people in our lives that has given us joy. And for Paul, it's the people of Philippi. It's a group of people that have brought him along on the journey and encouraged him. So he says this, I give thanks to my God because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day even until now. There's people, groups of people on the journey that have come with us that God has placed as a community. It takes a community to raise kids, doesn't it? It takes an entire group of people. So who are those communities? Who's a group of people that has brought you joy, and how did they influence your faith life? Who are those? What do those people look like? A group. Your parents? You have the duo? Teachers? Say that again. Camp ministry, that's right. Friends, yep. Small groups, yep. Say that again. Family, who was the last one? Your godparents, yes. So in those connections, we'll get to that in the next one. As groups of people have brought you along the way, whether it's small groups or larger groups, we remember and we're urged to connect those people when we're missing from them. I don't know if you're like this, but the longer that I'm away from people that I really care about, this is hard to say, the longer I'm away from them, the less I think about them. And that's frightening sometimes when I wake up and I think, I haven't thought about my parents for a while. But when we're truly connected in Jesus Christ, it gives us an opportunity. I got to remind myself to connect again with people because life is short. And God puts those groups of people in our lives also. For God is my witness. And I like this. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you. We get this sense that Paul really has a treasured relationship with these people that have brought him along in faith in this place where he established a church. And yet the church is his family. And in those spiritual connections, we recognize that nothing can separate us. So last question here. If you could write a note of encouragement to some people in your life, what are three words that you'd write? 3 points. What are three things that you write? What would be one of them? Yep, that's a good place to start. I love you. Uh-huh. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves you. Go. I'm glad you're in my life too. Yes. You know what? Another thing. Notes of encouragement. And I think maybe Paul was writing this to the people of Philippi too. Keep going. We're right behind you. We're right with you. Keep going. In whatever you're struggling with in life, we will be right by your side. But keep going. I hope you can do that this week with people that you've been missing for a while. Keep going. I'm right there with you. And so is my love of Christ with you. So we get this true sense that Paul is praying for the people with great love and affection. And what is this love? It's this agape love. It's not this just friendship. It's not feelings. It's not erotic love. It truly is the agape love that has these distinctive factors that's always focused outwards. You know, as a community of Christ, it's sometimes easy to be focused on ourselves or inwards, but it's always focused outwards, this love that Jesus shows to us. It's prepared to serve even when we feel or we think other people are unlovely. or undeserving or ungrateful. This love, this agape love, is for other people's benefit. And even if they reject us, we still get to give it. It's unconditional and expects nothing in return. I don't know if you're like this, but every time I give a gift, in the back of my mind, I guiltily think, I wonder what I'm going to get. Is anybody else like that? I'm the only one. I'm giving a back rub for 2 hours. Boy, I hope I get at least 2 minutes. Whatever it is. You don't even know what I'm talking about. This agape love is sacrificial and unconditional and willing to even die for the sake of the other. This is what a community of Christ that Paul is talking about in Philippi, I think he sees in them. You have this agape love that seeks outwards, and you even showed it to me while I'm in prison. It never dries up. Paul prays this love for the people. He prays it for them that they continue in it, and so we pray it for you. And I think he prays for us today. And this is his prayer that it's as it's written in the Bible. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge of every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are... Do you guys all understand this wording? Is it hard for you as it is hard for me? All those big churchy words? I rewrote it in the Australian vernacular. Kind of. I would like to pray this for you, and I hope you could pray it for people. I'd like to send this out in an email or however to you this week. I want to pray it for you right now. I want you to know that I pray for you every day. Sometimes twice a day. Not because I have to, because I love to. This is what I pray for you. I want you truly to understand what God's love is for you. And I want you to know what God's love is for your neighbor, the ones that are different from you. I want you to truly hear God's will in your life so you can act and react accordingly and serve with great joy. Thank you, God, for these people who have been partners with me and partners together in the gospel as we reach into the neighborhood so that all people may know Jesus. And if it comes to that they could worship him too. We know that you will finish the work in your time. Lastly, God, bless these blessings in my life, that they can live holy lives, free of guilt, free of shame, so that on the day of Christ, when Jesus comes back with all the joy and glory of the Lord, that you can experience the utter majesty of knowing that you have been loved all along. Praise God. And all glory to him. May you find the most joyful connection with Jesus and your neighbors this week. God bless you. Amen.